Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. The Richland Center City Council is scheduled to meet at the City Municipal Building tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Agenda items include a recommendation from the General Government Committee to renew the annual digital billboard advertising contract with Lamar for the digital billboard on Highway 14 East. There will be a status update on the pre-development agreement with Cobblestone Inn, and the Plan Commission has recommended council approval of conditional use permits for three businesses in Richland Center: New Tech Golf Carts, Pine River Tire and Auto, and Gary's Lawn Service. Also on the agenda, Alderperson Chris Jarvis has asked to discuss reformation of the Park Board. The Village of Spring Green Ordinance Committee will meet Tuesday. The main item for discussion and possible action will be proposed amendments for Ordinance 180 concerning bicycle and play vehicles. The meeting will be held at the Spring Green Village office. The City of Prairie du Chien has been awarded a nearly $5 million grant from USDA Rural Development to construct a new joint facility for its police and fire departments. This project aims to enhance public safety, coordination, and operational efficiency for over 5,500 residents by providing modern training centers, specialized department spaces, and shared infrastructure. U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Wisconsin State Director Andrew C. Iverson announced the award today, saying firefighters and police officers are vital to keeping communities safe. President Donald Trump and Secretary Rollins have made it a priority to ensure first responders have the resources and infrastructure necessary to protect rural Wisconsinites. The new facility will feature a modern shared training and fitness center designed to support the readiness of both departments. The police department's dedicated space will include vehicle storage and office space, while the fire department will benefit from apparatus space, decontamination space, living quarters, and office spaces. Bringing both departments under one roof will strengthen collaboration between the two departments, streamline operations, and reduce overall operating costs, ultimately enhancing public safety for the community. The Community Facilities Program offers direct loans, loan guarantees, and grants to develop or improve essential public services and facilities in communities across rural America. The Richland Hospital and Clinics, in partnership with the Brewer Public Library of Richland Center, successfully hosted its first ever teddy bear clinic at the hospital Saturday, May 30th. The event welcomed children, their stuffed animals, and families for a morning of hands-on learning, creativity, and fun. The free interactive event invited children to bring their favorite stuffed animals or adopt a new one on site and step into the role of caregiver. Young participants guided their plush companions through a series of engaging exam stations, including height and weight checks, bandaging injuries, and even a pretend x-ray experience. Each activity was designed to help children feel more comfortable and confident in healthcare settings. Families were greeted by TRHC's Boo Boo Bear, who ushered them to story time, where the Brewer Public Library book, How Do Dinosaurs Get Well Soon?, was read by Allison Ewing, APNP at Richland Hospital Clinic, before heading to the teddy bear stations. With a health checklist in hand, children rotated through each station and enjoyed creative activities, including painting a giant bear using syringes to squirt paint. Participants completed their experience by receiving a health certificate for their stuffed animal. The Brewer Public Library was on hand to share summer reading resources, stickers, bookmarks, and a fun teddy bear activity sheet. This event was created to help ease anxiety and make healthcare feel approachable for children, said Heather Tomey, RN, and one of the event organizers. It was incredibly rewarding to see kids engaging, learning, and having fun. Volunteers and staff played a large role in bringing the event to life, guiding families through each station, and creating a welcoming, educational environment. The Teddy Bear Clinic not only provided an opportunity for imaginative play, but also introduce children to healthcare concepts in a positive and memorable way. One young attendee arrived with concern, telling staff, "Teddy is sick." She was quickly reassured she'd come to the right place and that her bear would be well cared for. By the end of the visit, Teddy had received a clean bill of health. When asked if Teddy was feeling better, the child responded with an enthusiastic yes and a big smile, capturing the heart of the Teddy Bear Clinic experience. News from Governor Evers. Today, the governor raised the Progress Pride flag at the Wisconsin State Capitol at 12 noon. This marks the eighth consecutive year and coincides with the proclamation of June 2026 as LGBTQ Pride Month. The Progress Pride flag, which includes stripes for LGBTQ individuals of color, the transgender community, and those living with or lost to HIV or AIDS, will fly over the East Wing through sunset on June 30th. Executive Order No. 297 authorizes all state buildings to fly the flag during June. The flag-raising ceremony was attended by Governor Evers, his cabinet, elected officials, and LGBTQ community members and allies. Also from the governor, Governor Evers has appointed John Florsheim, President and COO of Waco Group Incorporated, to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board of Directors, filling a vacancy left by Jack Salzwedel. Evers called Florsheim's executive experience, leadership, and extensive business knowledge as key assets that will help bolster the state's economic goals. Florsheim has been in senior leadership at Waco since 2002, guiding its footwear brands, and previously worked in brand management at M&M Mars. He also holds board roles with United Way of Greater Milwaukee, Waukesha County, and North Shore Bank, and is a founding member of Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. Florsheim expressed his commitment to contributing to WEDC's mission of supporting economic growth and strengthening communities across Wisconsin. The WEDC board is composed of public and private sector individuals, providing strategic leadership and operational oversight. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is calling on the public to take action to avoid spreading invasive species during June, which is Invasive Species Action Month, and all year long. Invasive species are non-native plants, animals, and diseases that cause environmental economic harm or threaten human health. State regulations make it unlawful to transport, transfer, introduce, or possess certain restricted or prohibited invasive species without a permit. The DNR encourages the public to report invasive species and offers specific tips for various activities. Stay on designated trails, inspect clothing, shoe treads, and pets for dirt or seeds, and follow Wisconsin's firewood rules to avoid moving harmful pests like the emerald ash borer or spongy moths. Clean all recreational gear after use to protect waters from aquatic invasive species like Eurasian water milfoil and various mussels. Drain all water from compartments before leaving. Dry gear for at least 5 days between uses, and never move live fish away from a water body. Use non-invasive or native plants. Learn to identify and remove problem plants, such as Bishop's goutweed or burning bush, from your property, and use frozen, not live, or locally harvested rusty crayfish for crayfish boils. Connect with the local cooperative invasive species management areas. Sign up for State Natural Area Volunteer Workdays and receive live updates from the DNR. Also from the DNR, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is currently accepting artwork entries for the 2027 Wild Turkey, Pheasant, and Waterfowl Stamp Design Contests. These contests allow artists from across Wisconsin to showcase their talents and promote wildlife conservation. Sales from these species-specific stamps, which hunters are required to purchase, annually generate hundreds of thousands of dollars for wildlife conservation, including habitat management, restoration, education, and research projects across the state. Entries must be received or postmarked by August 1st. Judging will take place August 22nd at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo in Oshkosh. Applicants must carefully review the contest rules and ensure their artwork meets technical requirements for eligibility. Registration, rules, entry information, and reproduction rights agreements are available on the DNR's Wildlife Stamp Funding and Stamp Design Contest webpage.